from people to the journey of spiritual renewal. We've heard testimony after testimony of people who have experienced spiritual healing, spiritual breakthroughs, people who have been challenged to deeper prayer and to greater acts of service. And I really want to encourage you to read the testimonies of people and some of the anonymous acts of service that they did. There's some of them posted on the back wall, the wall there in front of the sound booth. So take a moment to spend some time in reading some of those testimonies. But there are a lot of good things that came out of that. But here's the big question. This is the big question that faced us as staff, and it faces us as church. What's next? You know, where do we go from here? Because the last thing that we want is for the journey to spiritual renewal to end. We don't want it to be an event that has a beginning and an end, something that's over and it's great, and, you know, maybe we'll put it on the calendar for next year like every other church program or church activity. And that's why we didn't call this a spiritual renewal week or a spiritual renewal weekend, because weeks end. Right? Weekends end and on Monday you go back to, you know, your regular routine. But the thing about a spiritual journey is that the end, the destination, is not a place. A spiritual journey is not a place. The end is a person. The Father, Son, Spirit who created us for a relationship. And that relationship doesn't have to ever end. Not even at death. And so the journey never ends. The only way the journey ends is if you stop moving. So where do we go from here? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The time that we have before we gather around the Lord's table together and share communion. So let's start by reading once again from John 15. We're going to start at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. So for these last few weeks, as we've looked at John 15, Jesus talks a lot about bearing fruit and about being productive. And in our modern world, we call that success. But it's a very different kind of definition of success than the world defines it. Success in God's eyes is summarized in one love word, which is love. See, the world defines success by how much wealth you can accumulate, but in the kingdom of God, wealth is not something that you accumulate for yourself, but something that you use to build up community. And the world defines success as fame, or how many people know you, but in the kingdom of God, what matters is not how many people know you, but how deeply you know others and they know you. The world defines success by how much power you have to make your will a reality. But in the kingdom of God, those who have power to come in first are the ones who come in last. Those who abide in love are the ones who come in first. In the world, the way to deal with an enemy is to conquer them, to dominate them, even to kill them. But in the kingdom of God, the way to deal with an enemy is to love them. To sit at a table that God has prepared for you in the presence of your enemies and to eat together. You don't kill them. You pray for them. And you don't have to fear for your life in doing so because they can't kill you. Your enemies can't touch you because you're already dead. Right? I've been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jim Burgoon, can I get an amen? And so what does that mean? Jim, what does that mean? You're a walking dead man. Isn't it good to have Jim Burgoon back in our congregation? That's fantastic. Now, Jim, you got to come to 11:15 service so that I can get a correct answer out of somebody from that, all right? So God's love is both the end and the means to the end. It's the fruit and the thing that feeds the fruit. It's the destination, and it is the journey itself. And so here's the first point I want you to remember today. Success is only as sustainable as its source. Success is only as sustainable as its source. Our success shows that we can't do anything without Him. That everything that is accomplished by us is something that is accomplished through us by the love of Jesus Christ. And we need to really notice how Jesus draws a distinction between success and the source. In the language of the vineyard that Jesus is using here, he draws a distinction between the results and the roots. If you want sustainable results, don't focus on the fruit. You focus on the roots. I mean, think about it. If you have something you're trying to grow, if you're trying to grow grapes and you want to have a sustainable crop, you want a really, really good organic fertilizer, what are you gonna use? I mean, not the chemical stuff they make in a factory, you know, but what's the best fertilizer for a plant? Manure, right? Pasture pies. Midnight soil. Mississippi mud. And so I want you to imagine this, all right? What are you going to do with that stuff? Can you imagine the vine dresser who takes all that rich organic fertilizer and rubs it on the fruit? You want to eat that fruit salad? Are you going to drink that wine? No way. That's not what you do. What do they do? They take it and they feed the roots with it. They mix it into the soil, or maybe you put it in a compost pile, mix it with some dead leaves and organic material and turn that stuff. And in a few months, you've got this crumbly, black, rich stuff that smells sweet and musky. And man, you mix that into the soil and you're going to have some grapes, you know. If you want to sustain your success, you don't focus on the fruit. You focus on feeding the roots. You feed the roots and you get lots of fruit. And the roots grow and they go deeper and deeper into the soil and they spread wider and wider and they have more access to water and to nutrients, so that even when there's a period in which there is no rain, because the roots are wide and deep, they can survive. But if you don't feed the roots, then the branches produce less fruit, and the fruit that they do produce is small and not very good. Now, in your life, in your spiritual life, it's possible for you to produce results that can't be sustained by your root system. See, our spiritual success, if you will, our fruit can't exceed the source that it comes from. So if we base our fruit, our success, on other people's opinions or our own strength or something other than Jesus Christ, then our success is going to be so short-lived. The spiritual renewal, whatever you got out of it, will be forgotten if it's not forgotten already. The fruit won't last. But if we want our lives to have staying power, then we have to base it on something that is sustainable, something that is constant. We need to determine our constant. And a constant is a fixed value that doesn't change, no matter what other variables may enter in or circumstances that are in our lives. The constants are always there. And so there are three constants that God establishes in believers that I want to mention real briefly before we go to communion. And the first constant is that God establishes in our lives is a constant calling. God calls us into relationship, but God also calls us into mission. And the two things go hand in hand. You don't get one without the other. In the Old Testament, the Israelites experienced God's calling of them into relationship, but they missed that He also called them into mission. That calling was a calling not only to be a special people, but to be a special people on a special mission to the rest of the world. And because they only focused on the relationship but not on the mission, they missed both. And likewise, God calls the church together. And He calls us both into relationship and into mission. He calls us to show His love to the world. And He has equipped each of us with certain gifts and talents and abilities and passions and life experiences that we're to use in our mission and use in our calling. And around here, we call that common calling of our church, Light Unleashed. But that's just, you know, that's just the way that we express it. Light Unleashed is a reminder that we do not exist for ourselves, neither as individuals or as a church. We don't exist so that we can just enjoy this happy and peaceful relationship with God and with other Christians who happen to agree with us. We exist to be agents of God's love. As Jesus put it, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, in different seasons of life, our calling manifests itself in different ways, but it's always the same calling. It's a constant. And there are some people who wait for the right circumstances to arise in their lives before they really start pursuing their calling. But you can't let circumstances dictate the extent of your calling. We can have confidence that even though our circumstances may change, our calling is constant. And in our constant calling, we have the constant faithfulness and victory of our unchanging God. So we have a constant calling. And then we have a constant character. That's the second constant. See, circumstances may change, but a person's character is deeply embedded in who we are. Your character is the sum total of all the qualities that are built into your life. And they determine your reaction to whatever circumstances may occur in your life. Abraham Lincoln said that reputation is the shadow, but character is the tree. And our character is more than just what we try to display to others for them to see. It's who we are, even when no one's watching. Character is doing the right thing because it's always right to do what's right. And so your character will determine how you respond to situations and circumstances. And most of us do pretty well in good circumstances. But when things get difficult, that's when character begins to reveal itself. So let's make sure we understand one thing. Pursuing our constant calling in a world that sees things very differently than we as followers of Jesus see it is going to put you into some conflict. It's going to put you into some difficulty. And part of the spiritual journey is allowing God to develop the character that we need to be faithful in the most difficult of circumstances. Now here in John 15, as Jesus talks about fruit, He's not talking about necessarily material things that we produce. Part of the fruit that He's talking about is the character that God is developing in us that we need to achieve the things that He needs us to achieve, the fruit that He needs us to bear. And it's possible for us to achieve some things that our character cannot sustain. And if you don't submit to God's shaping of your character, then let me tell you something. Whatever success you would attain would absolutely ruin you. Your character is not going to be able to support it. It would distort you. It would be terrible. And that's why sometimes God doesn't give us the things that we want, because He's got to first build into us the character that we need in order to handle those things. And so here's the big question for all of us. What in our character needs to be developed, or is God working on right now, so that we can bear the fruit that He wants us to bear? Some of us need to be more patient. Some of us need to be more joyful. Some of us need to be more caring. He's got to build that character in us. And that's not always a pleasant thing. But what in your character needs to be developed in order for God to achieve the success, the bear fruit in your life? So we have a constant calling, a constant character, and finally, the last constant is counsel. And by that I mean, you know, God counsels us through His Word. He teaches us, but also through other people. We need to be constantly reading and studying God's Word so we can understand what God's will for the world is. And this is not something that you can just do on your own. Don't you see how important this is? You should not do this just on your own. You need the counsel of other people who are also studying God's Word, maybe who have different experiences, certainly you have more experience perhaps than you do. And they can pour their godly counsel into you, because we all need people who can help us and guide us. And our Sunday school Bible studies and home groups are all about getting the right counsel from God through His Word and through His people. I had a woman email me just actually yesterday. Just moved to the area a couple of months ago, and she wrote me that Sunday morning services are not her cup of tea. And I tried to tell her that if she came, that we would by no means offer her a cup of tea, you know, if she would come anyway. But she said, Sunday mornings is not my cup of tea, but she wondered if we have any weeknight Bible studies that she can come and be a part of. So I told her about Pastor Richard's Tuesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock, plug right there, and my Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, second plug right there. I hope she'll come to one of those. I actually wish that she would also come for Sunday morning services, but I'll be satisfied to a certain extent if she'll just come and be a part of a Bible study, whether on Sunday morning or Tuesday night or Wednesday night or whatever. See, most people who decide to do only one or the other choose the Sunday morning worship experience. And I'm telling you, if you've only got a chance to choose one or the other, that's the wrong choice. Sorry, you know, but it really is. I would rather you choose both, because if you want to grow spiritually and become the most fruitful, then you need the worship experience with other believers, and you also need the Bible study experience with other believers. But if you're only going to do one, you'd be better served to study the Bible every week with a small group of people who will pour their lives into you, and you can pour your life into them. And they can speak godly counsel into your life. Because there's only so much Bible that you can learn from this setting. But there's a lot of counsel you can get in a small group Bible study. So, start going to a Bible study if you're not. Most of you do. But if you don't, start. But still come to worship. All right? So, do you understand the context of John 15? We're now coming to the end of the series and are looking at John 15. And the context of John 15, I don't think I've mentioned it before. Jesus is speaking these words right before He leaves and goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's not going to be long before He's hanging on a cross and dying. And Jesus knew that His disciples would fall away. Even as He spoke these words, He knew that they would fall away. So He told them to remain in My love. And He's telling us the same thing today. We will all get it wrong lots of times. And we will not be faithful all of the time, but Jesus is not counting on our consistency to determine His love for us. Our calling, our character, our counsel is not the main constant. The constant is Jesus is calling on His own life to save us and to redeem us. It's His character and His calling and His counsel that matters. The constant that will really sustain us is not our love for God, but His love for us, because that never wavers. This is the secret of sustainable success in the spiritual life. Not that we would maintain our love for God, but that we'd remain in His love. We'll get it wrong sometimes. But what we need to do more than anything is remain connected to Jesus, abide in His love, because He is the true vine. We are only the branches. We bear fruit through Him. Jesus invites us to gather around this table with the other believers, to share the fruit of the vine, to share the bread of sacrifice with one another. And if you're here, then we invite you to be a part. You don't have to be a member of First Baptist Church to be a part of our supper table. Everyone is invited, because Jesus determines who comes and who does not. So let's gather around the Lord's table and share this time together.